Welcome back to HBO Boys Theater. External. Beach. Two dragons stand across from each other, and two random dudes stand in front of their dragons. They're not the ones who have where this happened in the show, right? With Rhaenyra and Adam. Mm-hmm. This is, in fact, Adam and James instead, and they're the next guys who accidentally found dragons and are now on a beach talking to each other for the first time. And action.
You there, that's a royal dragon. You have to give that back to the House Targaryen.
It looks like you also have a royal dragon, so we're in a bit of a pickle here.
Okay, but I'm of royal blood, and everyone knows the peasants are lying thieves who can't be trusted, and so I can be trusted with a dragon because I'm a noble, but
listen,
you can't be trusted.
Listen, I am also clearly of noble blood, and you, my friend, look like a peasant.
Well, I'll have you know that this slightly charred noble's garb that I'm wearing will disagree with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably stole that one off of the body of the dragon rider you killed.
Well, so are you trying to imply that maybe peasants aren't all bad and maybe the nobles are actually the bad ones?
Yeah, I think I am.
Oh.
That doesn't really track because I'm a peasant. I killed the noble who was wearing this. So
this dragon just appeared in front of me and said, "Hey, you're it."
That dragon can talk.
Adam just like sits up from a dream. Ah!
Yeah, because he gets to the point where his dragon can talk. And that changes everything.
Sea Smoke has an Irish accent.
Yeah, you can't just start giving dragons accents, okay? This is a magical world, but we can't go crazy here. Anyway, what'd you guys think of this episode? Whatever.
It was boring, and then it was dark, but I liked it.
Yeah. Sure, you're talking dark in, you
couldn't
see anything.
It was hard to see, yeah. Right.
Oh, I loved it. I loved watching it. My eyes were very much open. Not hard at all.
Oh, like your third eye, like you were paying attention, or?
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. We got dragons and a lot of dragon action in the dragon show. So, I love that.
Right. I didn't really register it as too dark, if I'm being honest. I think I'm just so desensitized to things being too dark after, you know, that one specific episode of Game of Thrones that everybody while watching were like, this is just pitch black and that can't be how TV shows are. So, and because it wasn't that, I felt fine about it. But yeah, all the parts with dragons, really good. All the parts in Harrenhal, kind of boring.
Yeah.
Unless that it's at that point when the child... When the child is being mean to Country Croc Targaryen, which is, by the way, a joke that I ran by Adam on a text earlier, and he liked it then, so I assumed the world would like
it
now.
Great.
All of that was, and then anything else I'm not remembering, which is indicative of the episode.
I thought this episode was kind of weird in the sense that like they were really long scenes. So yeah. I don't mean like long, like they lingered on this one shot for a minute or two to let us really take it. As in like this scene has been going on for 15 minutes and it doesn't feel anywhere near close to over. And I'm just wondering like, is this the whole episode? No, okay, no, there's a scene after this. Weird.
Yeah, I looked down at the clock and saw, or how much time was left into the episode at one point, and there was 40 minutes. I was like, are you out of your mind?
You were checking it that early?
Yeah, I just assumed this had to be coming to an end. I don't know. It was during that like 30 minutes in the middle of this that I wish I could get back, and rather than the 20 on one side and like, again, 40 on the other. I know because I checked. Oh, by the way, I know that this is a bit of a sidebar, but Adam, you showed us a thread on Threads, perhaps.
Yeah.
Someone commented and said that our show was not factual and we got names wrong all the time.
Yeah, and I thought it was me. I immediately thought it was me. It turns out it was not me.
No, I get names wrong constantly. In fact, I make it a point in this show to say that I don't know someone's name.
Yeah.
Saying that that's bad. I should. It's their fault that they don't know. It's not mine. They didn't make me care. That's. But no, getting things wrong is a thing we've been doing for close to a decade. If anyone's still surprised by that, it's their fault. Again, you know what I'm learning? Nothing is our fault.
You know what? It's like Johnny says that he wants me back on the show. And then as soon as I get on the show, I start saying the names wrong again and people are writing in to complain. All right. So you can either have the name said right or you can have me on the show. All right. And not both.
Thankfully, that interaction did turn out positive and the listener will continue to listen. So that's pretty neat.
Well, yeah, because you, Adam, are a wordsmith and
am I? Is that what it was?
Sounds like, and also like a PR expert. Anyway, the point is Adam and Rhaenyra are staring at each other. Rhaenyra's like, "What? How did you get that?" And Adam was like, "I honestly, 100%, I'm no cap, I don't know."
Yeah, well, season 2, episode 7 is called The Red Sewing, which was bullshit because I didn't see a single needle and not any red thread in the entire episode.
Yeah, I was looking through the haystack, couldn't find it either. And then Rhaenyra eventually is like, "You seem fine. You've been."
What I like about this one is that she's like, "You can't have a dragon. You're a disgusting peasant." And he's like, "No, I love you and I'll do anything for you."
Yeah, it was so quick. It was so quick for him to bend the knee. I was like, "Oh, this." I thought there was going to be more contention here.
No, yeah. I mean, to be fair, he was already like, right? He's her subject before this.
But like, when you gain a dragon, I mean, do you get a power trip? Maybe. I maybe would.
I bet that's a part of some storyline with someone who gets a dragon. Wouldn't it be crazier if, like, no, not one ever, actually.
Yeah, that's the surprise that there was.
They got dragons, and then they became more humble, oddly enough.
At first, Rainy is pissed because she thinks this is a dragon napping, but then she's pretty chill with it when she finds out how cool Adam is going to be about the whole thing. Not HBO Boys Adam.
I'm pretty
chill.
This
is Adam in the show. I had to think, do you guys think, did Sea Smoke go to Adam because, like, he's Laenor's half-brother and maybe looks like him a little bit?
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe.
I think she said in there what I had said last episode, that he senses the Valyrian blood.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, assumably, it's the same as the way this episode
I mean,
is.
Yeah, but as we learned later, there was an entire room full of Valyrian blood who would go on to get, I don't know, completely murked. So...
But
there
like,
are
you know,
a lot
one,
of
is one blood stronger than the other, you know.
No, I'm just saying a lot of them are out there. So it is, you know, I think it speaks to like how magical is this world, my dude? Because that dragon was flying, and then something in the dragon's brain went that guy.
Or how humble or honorable the rider could be? Can they tell that? You think? I mean, this is a fantasy world,
probably, but different dragons probably
would let Aegon or Aemon sit on them if they knew the kids were good or bad. Like these two brothers are fucked. You can't sit on me,
yeah.
Right? Also, can like if dragon perhaps can link with a Targaryen, but they can't tell the future. You know, like
that's what I mean. Like at that point in time, like
they're betting on the kid and hoping for the best.
You know, when Aemond got his dragon, he was like, you know, the underdog. People were bullying him, and the dragon was like now his way to like stand some ground. And like in this one, Adam is a very humble man and is doing his job, and the dragon seeks him out. And then the next guy, he wanted to provide for his family, and the dragon said, "Okay."
Yeah, fine. I agree, Adam. There does seem to be some kind of mystical and/or like some kind of destiny thing put into the dragon riding a little bit. It's sort of like the dragons pick their rider.
Yeah, I can't comment on the last guy though, because I don't like he's just like some guy that's drinking himself
dead. We'll get there.
Yeah, okay.
We'll talk about Hugh and Ulf at length at some point. Okay, so Adam goes back to Dragonstone.
Are you doing the recap, Ryan? Sorry, I wrote one. I didn't know you were going to do it.
Oh, we have a written recap.
Okay, I'm going to leave. Bye.
You don't have to leave. You can do it. You can do it.
I'm back, Jamie.
It's funny you that and you me. And I just, we both launched into it simultaneously.
Well, then let's try to say it word for word. Ready? Go.
Okay. Well, it's funny because at the end of that scene, she's like, "Damn, this is awesome. I'm in." But then in the next scene, she's like still talking it over with Missaria. "Jeez, I don't know if I'm in or not." And she's like, "But our peasants all idiots and liars." And Missaria's like, "Oh, I'm a peasant." But she's like, "Well, actually, the majority of peasants are normal. And I think if you look back at your own life, you'll see that the majority of nobles are conniving and self-serving. And if there are honorable nobles, they're kind of the exception to the rule." And then she's like, "Duh, wow, thank you for pointing that out to me. Thank you for explaining my own life."
This was happening when Rhaenyra was supposed to be at a meeting right? It was like your boss is supposed to be at the meeting, but turns out your boss decided to have a conversation with someone that they hired 2 days ago, and that somehow they trust more than you and the team now, and they're not coming to the meeting anymore. And then they come back and they're always like, I have an amazing idea. In fact, I've come up with many.
Yeah, they're not even talking about work. They're in there like doing therapy.
That's work. Hey, come on. They're putting it in. The work, that is.
Meanwhile, at King's Landing, Aemon is firing Aegon's bros who got anointed into the Kingsguard. He's firing them in the worst way, which is sending them to the frozen wastes of the north to work on the Night's Watch, which is the worst job ever.
Right, it's cold up there. It's an amount of cold that when you would get up there, you'd be like, well, if this is my life, maybe I'd choose the sea. I don't know. Where's that? Where's the closest ocean so I can swim into it? You know.
Meanwhile, as that's happening, some guy, kind of a silly scene, is trying to share the hot goss about Adam and Sea Smoke with Laris Clubfoot Strong.
Yeah.
And he admits that he has this information on the good authority of like three different people. He's like, so my son heard it from a stable boy who got it from the shipwright's son who heard it from a captain of a boat in a story, in a book. And he's like, wow, that's amazing gossip. I don't think you should tell Aemon because he'll be angry. And also, like, what are you going to run up to? Hey, King. Oh, look, I got this really cool information you're going to want to hear.
Yeah.
He's like, chill, dude. Just forget it.
This is, though, the major problem about being the way that Almond is, where, like, this information is real. As stupid as the explanation is as to where you got the information from and the four people that I definitely don't know or even exist, / can I trust, but... bummer, because the information again is real and we're afraid to tell our boss because our boss does crazy things like send people to the wall when he doesn't like them.
There's this very short scene where the sea snake meets up with Adam and he's like, so, well, I guess that happened. Literally, that's the point of the scene. They're like, wow, you ride a dragon now? Yeah, I do.
Well done.
Nuts, dude. Mm. You should grow out your hair. It'd be cool. You and me, I'm on a dragon, you have hair. That'd be cool.
He does have hair. He does have hair. He has black
hair. Not right now, dude. No, I'm saying his brother, dude.
Oh, Alan. Oh, yeah, I got you. See, even I'm messing up the words now.
You guys, I'm so far, I'm good on all the names, okay? You are. You hear that, listener? All right. In a very long-ass sequence, in a sort of gathering of the fellowship-style scene, outdoors in Rivendell, all of the paramount lords of the Riverlands are having a meeting to decide whether they're going to back the Black or not. This is another one of those scenes where Daemon is like rolling on Molly the entire time and the camera's doing weird shit.
Yeah. Why? What's he's being poisoned or something, right? Like for sure the lady with the owl is poisoning him.
I sure hope that we get an answer on that. If they leave that thread dangling, I'll be annoyed. And throughout this entire scene, which is already a little bit silly and weird, it is ruined by a persistent whooshing sound of the wind that was driving me crazy.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Didn't notice it
at all.
Yeah.
Go back and watch it, guys. Look for the woo.
I don't need to.
It was
to.
Also ruined by the terrible performance of the teenage actor who played Oscar Tully.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
You know, I'm indifferent on this one. I don't think it was a particularly good performance, but I liked what he did.
So that means you liked it. That's what that means.
I liked the actions, but I didn't like his delivery. I don't think he's a particularly good actor.
You liked the actions, but not the
delivery.
That's an insane sentence.
Adam liked
the script.
It wasn't believable, but I liked the outcome.
That is a sentence that means absolutely whatever. I'm going to move on.
The scene was silly too, Ryan. That's what I was going to say. In any case.
No, not in any case. I was about to make the point that this kid was a great actor. I really liked the words that he was saying. Everything that he was throwing at Daemon, who was weirdly like sweating and falling asleep and being, he's not good at this at all, but somehow he's gotten worse, and if he's not being drugged, that's just a huge problem, because he's complete. Also, I was thinking the entire time, why are these people talking to this man like this? Where's the dragon? Have the dragon be there. This is all a lot easier, isn't it?
Along with sort of adjudicating everything that's happened in the last couple episodes in the Riverlands, they all are just sort of announcing how much Daemon sucks and they hate him.
To his face.
Everybody agrees about that. Oscar plays some kind of weird power move shit on Daemon. Basically, he gets everything bad that Daemon did on the Riverlands blamed on Lord Blackwood, who, again, was acting on Daemon's orders explicitly. And so Daemon kills him without really seeming like he's thinking about it that long. And that guy gets a pretty raw deal.
Yeah. Bummer for that guy. Again, this entire scene would not happen if a dragon was behind. Like, that's all I'm thinking. This is so stupid. These people are being so abrasive. There's a nuke pointed at their mouths, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to talk shit.
Yeah, I'm a little mad about something that happened in this far-off village, and I'm going to fight you about it, even though your dragon is bigger than the building we're in.
Right. And dragons eat people all the time. A lot in this episode, actually.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Daemon has, you all were waiting for it, another dream. He dreams about Viserys, and he says, being king sucks ass, Daemon. Never be king. It's terrible. And Daemon wakes up, and he's like, I can't wait. I just can't wait to be king.
Right, exactly. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we get Paddy Constantine back. That's good. I like him.
I like it so much. But I miss him.
Gosh. Gosh, I hate these scenes. And you know what's crazy is that those weren't the worst scenes of this episode. The worst scenes of this episode were Alicent went camping! Exclamation point! Question mark! Why?
Floating in a freaking river.
In what is a lol so random storyline of this episode, she takes one of the Alicent Hightower, that is, upset about being mistreated and getting attacked in a mob, goes camping with an old man member of the King's Guard, and that's it. And they go camping. Yeah.
Is that in the book?
Yeah, no, it's not in the book.
So offended. Yeah, it was the fish that broke the camel's back, so she decided that she just had to just put a tent in the woods and bring a man who was like, we should not do that. And she was like, turns out we're doing it anyway.
I wish that I were a medieval noble and I could order people to go camping with me. It's like, the king demands go and play pickleball with me. And then they have to do it.
The one part of that scene that stuck out to me was how ridiculously uneventful the one, like when she walked up to the tents, she's like, I'm going to retire. And then he's just like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Like, okay.
What a cool scene that was, where she told him that he was going to sleep. And then he said, that's cool. What a cool scene.
He's lying down in bed thinking, like, honor such a fucking bullshit.
Like, what a good use of our time.
God, yeah, that was terrible.
Also in King's Landing, Loras, and I believe this is Maester Melos, unless I'm mistaken, are trying to rehab Egg, and it's not really going very well. Yeah. Loras thinks it's really important that the king be able to move in a hurry if he needs to. I think that's pretty reasonable. Loras also seems to be expressing genuine concern for Aegon, who he now knows is going to forever walk with a limp the way Loras does, except in the books, Loras didn't really have a limp. It was all a deception.
Oh, does every person in the Game of Thrones universe without a limp doing it as a deception, I assume? Two out of two.
It's a lot of things that, like, you, if you could fake something, like being bald, this is what Varys does. Varys is not actually bald in Game of Thrones, guys. You know why Varys is bald, Ryan?
Why?
No, dude.
Because if he...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Didn't shave his head, his fucking silver hair would grow out.
Oh, like Alan of Hall?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Anyway, what happens next?
In a absolute blink and you'll miss it scene, Rhaena runs out of the Vale castle to chase after Sheepstealer. if anybody's read the books, or honestly, you just seen season three or two or Game of Thrones, the idea of like sneaking out of the Vale is so preposterous. It's a yeah. castle built on the sheer edge of a mountainside cliff that you have to like ride an elevator to get to. Rhaenys sneaks out to look for Sheepstealer. It's a dragon, by the way.
Is that the official name of the dragon? It's just Sheepstealer?
That's what the dragon's name is, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The dragon was allowed to name itself, and it decided it can talk, actually. It's probably a dragon you've met on a beach once, and it said, you know what I think I'm going to be? Sheepstealer.
The sea snake goes to see his other bastard son, Alan, and they have an awkward conversation, and he tells him that his brother is now a dragon rider and so will forever be cooler than he will ever be. And Alan says, well, that's nice, but actually I think the boats are cooler than dragons.
Right.
And the sea snake's like,
Good point. Solid point. I loved this scene. I liked it a lot because we've only seen the sea snake talk to his bastard son in a like first mate kind of way, in a you work for me kind of way. And it was an unspoken thing that both of them definitely knew what was up, but again, the definition of unspoken, not saying it. And then this time, halfway through the conversation, he basically just steps forward, the sneak snake does, and he's like, all right, let's cut the bullshit. You're my son. He's my son. He has a dragon. What are you going to do? Because the dragon stuff's happening. And then the other guy's like, love the ocean. And Sea Snake's like, yeah, I get it. Anyway, good talk.
Maybe I'm too sensitive, but I feel like if I am Alan and Adam in this situation, I'm like, oh, so you didn't give a shit back when we were just random jack-offs. But now that this dude rides a dragon, he's cool, and now you want to fuck with me. It's like, come on, bro. It's so transparent. It's the fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer shit all over again.
Yeah, but also on the other side of that is like, yeah, sorry, I've been busy. Also, he got a dragon. In fact, anyway, I'm not a very good dad. I would like to be a 1% good dad now. I'm just using you, actually. So, like, was he supposed to say that?
I mean, probably not.
yeah.
There is a conversation like that happening on Dragonstone somewhere, though, where Jace finally addresses the elephant in the room and it brings up to, Mom, have you thought about how I am actually, in truth, secretly a royal bastard? And the only thing that separates me from a garden variety royal bastard is that I have this dragon. And so if the dragon seeds can just get dragons also, then why can't they just be given legitimacy? This is a serious threat to my claim. Mom, this is possibly a threat to your claim. Some of these dudes might be, if they're legitimized, higher in succession than you.
Yeah.
Right.
All of those are super valid points. And I was like, you go, as he was doing so. And then Rhaenyra, though, comes back with her trump card response, her you can't fight this response, although if you're a teenager, you will do so anyway. But her response is like, okay, what do you want me to do, man? Because war is bad. I don't know if you knew this or not, because you will never have to go through it because you're standing in this room rather than down there where the food isn't. But war is bad, and I'm trying desperately to not have it happen. So I need more dragons, and this is the way I get more dragons. Do you have a better idea? To be fair, though, a lot of good points you just said. Good points.
So Adam and anyone else who's not that familiar with Game of Thrones, if you're a bastard of a royal family, you get a funny name. Like, he's not Jon Stark, he's Jon Snow. You know that character, right?
Hey, funny name.
The whole reason for that is that he can't ever contest any of the Stark children to be the Lord of Winterfell. That's why Catelyn Stark hates Jon Snow, because he's going to like try to steal the castle from her kids she's worried about. In any case, we have never had a situation, because bastards can be legitimized. The king could say, guess what, Jon Snow? Today you're Jon Snark. Jon Snark? Jon Stark. How do you like that? That's a thing that could happen, right, Adam?
Jon Starks from the New York Knicks?
Right. But it's never happened to someone who is a royal bastard, because what would that mean? If the royal bastard is slightly older than the royal heir and then you legitimize him, well, what happens then? And the Targaryens will return to that question in about 100 years when they have an even worse civil war.
Right, which we'll probably get a show of in like 3 to 5 years from now, right?
That'd be so where sick, bro. That'd be so sick.
It will be so sick. It's probably the coolest story that George R. R. Martin has sort of written.
But there's no dragons.
There's no dragons.
Well, I hate that.
That is a spoiler, actually.
Adam's like, I'm out.
That's a spoiler, what you just said. But, you know, that one is like, there's a king. He's like, anyway, I'm out. By the way, one last thing. Everybody's in. Good luck.
Right. Wow.
Well, the whole world is a Targaryen now. By decree.
Yeah, but again, Jace is a character that has been pretty annoying up to this point, and he made so many good points this episode. I liked this scene a lot because I think both sides made pretty decent points based on facts and figures, and then at the end they were like, well, we said it. Nothing actually comes out of this. Let's hug this one out.
Yeah, they lampshaded it, so at least they brought it up. Missaria launches her master plan. She sends out women in completely inconspicuous bright blood red cloaks. Ugh, which no one, yeah, that's not gonna catch anybody's eye.
Ridiculous.
Handmaid's Tale.
So the little reds riding hoods go out and they find anybody with silver hair and invite them to a party in the Hollywood Hills.
Right. Pretty cool. And so you guys got to go down to the boats, have long conversations.
You have the time of your life.
Yeah, I mean, there was a scene where Hugh Hammer was talking to his wife, and his wife was making the valid point of like, you're probably gonna die, and he's like, yeah, what else am I gonna do though? In fact, it's sort of reminiscent of the previous conversation with Rhaenyra.
Hugh the Hammer's on the guest list. He's going. His life is a little bit worse now than last time we saw him. That daughter, don't ask.
don't worry about it. Oh, no. It's bad, probably, so.
It turns out he's not even a bastard of the Dragon Knight. He lied about that. His mom was, I forget her name, but she was a Targaryen princess, daughter to Jaehaerys the Wise, and she had run off because she hated her parents, and she went to the Free Cities where she became a famous courtesan.
Which, by the way, I would watch that show.
Yeah, Jaehaerys, House of Jaehaerys.
Oh my
God. House of the Wise.
Oh my God. Because that character that was described sounds like so fun. And like, for someone to do that, give me that. Give me 8 seasons of that, sure.
Jesus.
New character, Ulf is going. He's on the list. We don't really need a long setup for this character. He's just a big dummy. He goes to the bar, and his friends are like, hey, dummy, all the blonde people are going to Harvey Weinstein's house.
And he's like, I'm in.
I'm going. This is going to be great.
So, yeah, the big one and the dumb one are in the pack of blonde people who are basically just served up to slaughter. I like before they went in, all the dragon tamers were like, nah, we're out, actually.
Yeah. That was an interesting scene.
Yeah, I love when they speak High Valyrian. I think that's very fun because only those people can understand it. So, like, the whole room is just oblivious to what's happening.
Right. So, presumably, these dragon pit cultists or whoever they are, like, they're from an unbroken line of Valyrian vassal servants that serve the Targaryens or some shit, I assume. And here, they get really mad at Rhaeny for trying to put bastards on dragons, and they're sullying their dragon craft with non-Valyrian dragon riders. And so, we're all quitting. It's like they put a sign up on the drive-thru that says, we all quit. And I just thought, like, can you quit in feudalism? Is that an option? Damn, Sir Dantos should have quit, you know?
Yeah, he should have quiet quit when he had the chance.
I think he totally did, though. He did that part.
Hey, I quit.
So then they go down to the dragon pit, and there's probably like 24 dragon seeds in here. Everybody's trying to win a new car. And so the dragon pit guys aren't there. And so when this dragon, help me out here, guys, what's this one?
The big one, the Vermithor?
Yeah. So he comes on out and he sees all the dragon seeds there. And my thought was like, he going through his head, he's like, you guys are supposed to sing. Why aren't you singing?
Yeah.
Sing to me.
Right after Rhaenyra walks up and is like, okay, so weird day, but let's be chill. I found a lot of people for you, and I know you've never done this before, but if you don't like them, just nod no, right? We could just do that. We don't have
to
stomp
your foot.
Do something that's not burning them alive, okay, for me? Anyway, bye.
It's like a ritual sacrifice, though. Like, here's the ones that don't make it for that one that does.
Right, which is weighing on Rhaenyra because she's getting all these people killed.
Yeah.
Which is solid.
But luckily, none of them live enough to tell the tale.
Luckily?
None of None of these tertiary Dragon Seed characters have any points in animal handling because none of them do what you're supposed to do with a predator, which is keep your eyes on them and stay toward looking at them. Instead, they all uniformly run away. And as soon as any character starts running away from this dragon, he immediately burns and eats them. And only Hugh the Hammer seems to figure this out. He even tries to save this lady, but she gives into her instincts and tries to run too. And only after he is the one left standing, he's the only guy left, does the dragon finally chill enough to like actually get touched. And I started to wonder, like, is it all of, do you really just, maybe if you have the DNA, just touch an unclaimed dragon and maybe that's it? And I also thought, that like this dragon was hungry. And if they had just brought a bunch of pigs or sheep with them first,
right?
I bet you the first guy would have been able to touch them, which is what happens. We see that. I couldn't believe there was a scene after this because this scene was so horrifying and dramatic. But it does end with Rainy looking down at him, touching the dragon, going, okay, worth it, maybe?
Mm-hmm. No. Well, for her, 100% worth it. Still very sad, you know, because of all the death she just caused. Yeah. But worth it. Nonetheless, Hugh Hammer was being courageous and valiant and trying to save that woman's life. And in doing so, he yelled at the second, third, or fourth biggest dragon to ever live. And the dragon looked at him and was like, oh, no way. Respect.
Yeah.
You're chill.
Whereas Ulf the whatever his name is, I wanted to say Ulf the Hammer, definitely not what his name is, with Silverwing, right? Yeah. That was, he ran into a dragon by accident, and he just so happened to run into a dragon that's just a big golden retriever who was just like, hi, are you my friend?
Right. And well, and then also like that dragon, there's like all these burnt bones around. When he comes in, that dragon probably just fucking ate and is not hungry.
Oh, 100%. I'm loving this idea from you. It's a lot about blood sugar.
Well, because there's a lot of hints to that in the books. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
That would be so upsetting if that's what it was, that you just have to feed it before you claim it.
I say, like, the idea of like of trying to like watch something happen and then learn, like, oh, maybe the animal acts this way when it because of this reason. They haven't invented that kind of thinking yet.
Is it that they're all diabetics or? But the last 20 minutes were awesome. Like,
oh yeah,
I think it pulled the entire episode up. I don't think it comes away as, you know, there have been now 10 penultimate episodes of 10 seasons of Game of Thrones plus Hot D. If you were ranking all of them, which, by the way, we should have done. That was a good idea. I just came up right now and we haven't done it, so that's a bummer. But if I was ranking all of them, it would probably definitely be in the lower five, right? Maybe not last, but pretty close to last. Still pretty good, but the reason it's close to last out of all those penultimate episodes is one, all the penultimate episodes, even the ones in the later seasons, people kind of don't like generally were great. And this one had 30 minutes, 40 minutes of really, really bad filler, which none of the Game of Thrones one did. It was either good or bad, right? Like, it was bad sometimes, but it wasn't filler.
Well, there's one very last scene, though, we should say. When Ulf finds Silverwing, he then flies to King's Landing. Everyone's freaking out over there. I don't know what Aemon's thought process is, but he runs out of the city on his horse, jumps onto Vhagar, and is chasing him, and he chases him back across the bay. And I assume Vhagar is like, oh, it's my whole family. I'm going to go chill on my island with my family.
Yeah, right.
And Almond's like, we got to go. Get on out of here. But he's like, but come on.
They're all hanging out.
They're right there. So much FOMO I'm having. I'm like the biggest, I'm their grandmother, basically.
Right, yeah.
And you won't let me go see my grandbabies? How dare you?
And Aemon gets the perfect shot here where it's like, oh, I have one big dragon and I can ride it. And over here, my half-sister, she's got four fucking dragons. Shit.
Right. And then it, with probably the coolest shot, or one of the coolest shots, actually two of the coolest shots in this episode, the one with Rhaenyra turning around and Vermithor right behind her. Oh, that shot was awesome.
So good.
And then the shot at the end where there are three dragons on different parts of the screen, but zigzagging behind a Rhaenyra, who then walks up for a crazy close-up, and there are just, you know, hate and blood in her eyes, and it ends the episode on that. Like, man, this is almost making it okay that a little boy told a man with a dragon to shut up.
Right. And Oscar Tully, to me, looks a lot like the kid from Stranger Things. Anybody else get that vibe?
I mean, I was getting Ollie vibes, because Ollie is a Game of Thrones character, Adam. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Got you.
Just because he was giving off pouty and that as a general vibe. But yeah, are you talking Gaten Mazzer?
Yeah. That's the one.
Gaten? Yeah, that one. Yeah, I could get that. I think we're just going for curly hair here. That's really all we're saying.
Curly hair, pudding face, speech impediment.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know. You were saying more than I was. Yeah.
Okay. In any case, when we're not cyberbullying folks here on the HBO Boys podcast, we're giving thanks to our lovely patrons.
Thank you so much, James. We'd like to thank our patrons: Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Black Adam, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewer, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Filet Mignon number one. And thank you so much, Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patron. That's very cool of you. Also, please follow us on all of our socials at the HBO B-O-I-Z, HBO Boys on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. We have stuff, and I have to say stuff, and you can say stuff back to me. It's pretty neat. I like it. And yeah, so do that. That's all I got.
Wow. And in the vein of it's the Olympics currently.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a perfect dismount.
Hey.
Do we have anything to announce? Are we going to do a Boys or some shit? No, or Deadpool or anything?
Not yet, but it's on the Olympics. If you haven't watched it, please, for the love of God, watch the opening ceremony where Gojira just absolutely slayed that damn song. Oh, my God. That's just a good day for metal history.
Yeah, the zoom out. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we can make a bunch of promises we won't keep. We're probably going to talk about Deadpool versus Wolverine at some point.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about the season 4 of The Boys, and then...
Adam just watched all The Boys. We could talk about what seasons 1 through 4 of The Boys.
And Gen V.
Sure. I think we should just for... analytics purposes to season 4 and perhaps the rest of it, but either way I'm good. And then talk about, probably do the Penguin when it comes out, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm gonna watch that one.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I gotta go back in the insane asylum.
Yeah, right. And then we lock Jamie back up
until they make Westworld season 5.
So never.